Hi, everyone. Tanzina Vega back with you on The Takeaway. Attorney General William Barr was called to testify in front of Congress today in a hearing dedicated to the Justice Department's 2020 budget. But the discussions went beyond government spending. Here's Barr speaking earlier today about the Mueller report.
From my standpoint, within a week, I will be in a position to release the report to the public.
Barr made clear that the report he releases will have redactions. But Democrats in Congress have been trying to make the case that the entire Mueller report needs to be made public, and that includes grand jury testimony. But a new D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling announced last week could fundamentally change how the judiciary handles grand jury evidence. The court decided that federal judges do not have the inherent authority to make grand jury testimony public, and that could create yet another hurdle for how much access the public gets to the Mueller report. Joining me now is Ben Wofford, staff writer for Washingtonian Magazine. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here.
So let's take a step back. What was the original lawsuit all about?
So this lawsuit has been winding its way through the court for several years, and it's really a story about how one person can really insert themselves in a grand national narrative just by bringing a personal lawsuit. This was a case brought by a man named Stu McKeever. He's 82 years old, was a New Yorker all his life, became a South Carolina snowbird in retirement, and in retirement decided to take up novel writing. And in the process of working on a true crime thriller, requested grand jury testimony that he believed would have unlocked the key clues to a 1957 disappearance case that was at the heart of his narrative. And he petitioned a court in 2013. This is back in the Obama administration, back when Donald Trump was tweeting about The Apprentice and Bob Mueller was still director of the FBI. And the case has been wending its way through the courts, where almost by divine luck or bad luck, depending on your perspective, it's landed literally the same month that this drama is unfolding in the epilogue of the Mueller probe.
And I mean, this is not exactly about the Mueller report, but it obviously could influence what the public knows about things like grand jury testimony, including in that report. Is that right?
Yeah, hugely. The key term here to know is something called Rule 6, and it's a term that you're going to hear a lot more as the drama unspools around the Mueller report. In fact, on the fourth page of Attorney General William Barr's summary of the Mueller report, he mentions Rule 6E. And those are the rules in federal criminal procedure that govern the very narrow exceptions around which you can release grand jury testimony. It's been a major question mark ever since those rules were adopted in the 1940s, whether judges can impel their release for matters of national urgency or historical edification. And what you have now is a perfect split between the circuit courts. They've each more or less come to their own conclusions, the most famous of which was national scandal called Watergate. It was a precedent-defining case in 1974 called Haldeman versus Sirica, and that was how Leon Jaworski actually got grand jury testimony to the House Judiciary Committee, which was vital to the impeachment proceedings that happened that summer.
What does this really do in terms of what does it change about what a judge can and cannot do when it comes to grand jury testimony?
Yeah, it's a perfect question. So the bottom line is that before this week, if Judge Beryl Howell in the District Court of D.C., who's been overseeing the Mueller probe and the grand jury that Bob Mueller's team has impaneled, if Judge Howell wanted, in theory, to release the so-called Mueller report or the grand jury testimony that underpins it, she could have. She would have drawn on a theory of how judges use their inherent authority to release that material. But the court's interpretation this week has erased all of that and says that if there is going to be a release of grand jury testimony, it has to be pursuant to one of these five exceptions. And the main one that people are looking at is preliminary to or connection to a quote-unquote judicial proceeding. And the main question on everyone's mind and that of legal scholars is, does impeachment inquiries qualify as a judicial proceeding? And that might be the way that the House could get this grand jury testimony.
Beyond Congress getting their hands on the full Mueller report, are there larger implications of how this could play out in other cases?
Yeah, absolutely. So, when you talk to experts about this case, they'll tell you, you know, the Mueller focus is really an accident of history and timing. But just as much, if not more, passionate interest in this case comes from historians. It comes from journalists. It comes from archivists and researchers. You know, the question of how much the public gets to see about how grand juries operate really has a lot of bearing on major national events of public interest and also how the criminal justice system operates. There are several criminal justice reformers who think having sort of an emergency evacuation option, so to speak, for when you can get grand jury testimony into the hands of people who could provide oversight would really be a public good.
I'm wondering also, because, you know, we're talking about this in the shadow of the Mueller report or vice versa, you know, was there any evidence of partisanship coming out into this ruling? We know that the Trump administration has also been very aggressive about putting judges into stacking the deck, essentially.
Yeah, it's hard to say, and you want to be careful. But it's true that one of the judges in this 2-1 ruling is Judge Katsas, who is a Trump appointee. In previous cases, he actually has recused himself, especially regarding cases that he may have worked on when he was working in the White House, where he was stationed before being appointed to the D.C. Circuit. But, you know, the dissent in this case by Judge Srinivasan, who is an Obama appointee, makes the case that this really hinges on how you interpret this Watergate precedent. There's a whole page devoted to the Watergate case of Haldeman versus Sirica. And this ruling doesn't overturn that case. It puts a very particular reading on it, and it really raises the bar for how the House of Representatives, particularly Jerry Nadler's House Judiciary Committee, is going to get its hands on this grand jury testimony. It seems likely that the only way they'll be able to do it is if they initiate some sort of impeachment inquiry.
Is there a sense that this could be appealed?
Oh, absolutely. And I talked to Stu McKeever this week, actually, and he's dead set on this going to the Supreme Court. We have a perfect circuit court split. It's precisely the kind of case that the court takes up. As McKeever told me, he said, I'm a senior citizen. I'll be 83 in June. I've never quit, and I'm not going to quit now. So spoken like someone who really wants to see his novel published, you know, National Consequences Be Damned.
I'm sure there are many novelists that agree with him.
Right.
Ben Wofford is staff writer for Washingtonian Magazine. Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tanzina.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.